Okay, Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Luke 1:26. Okay, this is about the third set of sayings in the Bible about when Jesus on the cross, where Jesus looked at Mary and he said, "Behold thy son." They looked at John and said, "Behold thy mother." This is focusing more on Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ. Now, a person needs to be very particular with the words. I did not say the mother of God. Yes, Jesus Christ is God, but Mary was not the mother of God. She is the mother of Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus. And that's very particular. Okay, Luke chapter 1, verse 26. This is when one of the two angels in the Bible that are named, Gabriel and Michael. Michael usually shows up and beats somebody up, and Gabriel shows up and tells somebody something. And this way you have the common saying, the gift of gab, from Gabriel or Gabriel. The EL on the end of both of their names is the name for God. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angels came in unto her and said, "Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, notice Gabriel is a him, just like a 33-year-old man when they show up, when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Okay, three out of three were fulfilled the very first time, first coming. "He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Okay, verse 32, you could say first coming, but you could also say second coming. Verse 33 is clearly second coming. There are nine phrases. Three of them are completely fulfilled. 31, 32, you can go either way. 33 are yet to come. "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Notice, in the womb he's called thing. Okay, God uses the word as he chooses. In verse 35, "And behold thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. And with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto thee, unto me, according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to put Mary in her rightful position, but yet admire some things that she did in life. And I pray you'd help us to understand these things so we might be amazed with the power of thee and of thy word, and especially the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, this is about Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ. Now, man, in our age, they really try to think they're intelligent, that they can create life from a test tube or whatnot. They'll never compete with God. God has made a child in four ways. One way, he made a child out of nothing. That would be Adam. He made a woman without a woman involved. He made a woman out of a man. That would be Eve. He made a man out of a woman without a man involved. That's Jesus Christ. And then all the rest of us, we got here because a man and woman were involved. Four different ways. Okay, is how God has done it. Man thinks he's real intelligent when he can do it out of a test tube. Okay, man's not that intelligent. Now, this idea of Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ. Now, often there's an overreaction. People take things to extremes as far as things in the Bible. An overreaction of worshiping Mary promotes a matriarchal society. When Mary has been placed too high and people actually worship her, pray to her, what you're going to find in that society, it will be a matriarchal society. The mother will run the faith and the home. You can find that. Go in any culture, down Mexico, go to Poland, okay? And you go to Europe, and I can show you the actual churches where they'll have the statues of Mary, not Jesus Christ. Okay, and so now if you get dealing with these people, they're going to say, we don't worship her. Oh, yes, they do. Now, this is an overreaction. Okay, now the other reaction to the other extreme is a rejection of this idea. If you reject the idea of Mary being the mother of God, particularly placing Mary above God, Mary is the mother of Jesus Christ, who happens to be God. Okay, when you reject that idea, there's usually a very strong emotional response. Why? Because it's a matriarchal thing. Mary serves as an example for all to emulate, but not to worship. We don't want to go overboard on these things as far as something like this. The Bible records the truth about Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ. In Luke 1, verse 42, her cousin Elizabeth says the same thing that the angel Gabriel said, where she says in verse 42, she spake with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." Yes, Mary was a blessed lady. Okay, but she is not somebody to be worshipped. Three women that were at the cross of Jesus Christ, three separate women, all named Mary. Okay, and then there are three men named Joseph that are very instrumental in the life of Jesus Christ. Joseph in the Old Testament, a type of Christ. Joseph in the New Testament, his father or his earthly guardian per se. And then Joseph at his burial is Joseph of Arimathea, who placed his body in the sepulcher. Now, contrasts are one of the most important things to keep one sane. Contrast. When you recognize the differences between things, that is what keeps you sane. We're in a culture where everybody's trying to cram everybody together, saying we're all the same. Men are like women, women are like men, black are like whites are like blacks, and so forth and so on. And that is absolutely false. Contrast is what shows that we are each uniquely made. Very unique in God's eyes when you recognize the differences between things. And if we recognize there is a clear difference, understanding the differences of the two extremes of looking at Mary's life, where one side she's worshipped, and the opposite extreme is she's worthless. She's a worthless sinner. Okay, those are the two extremes. So first we're going to look at the worship side, and it is a worship. Now if you doubt that, if you doubt or if you want to find out if somebody worships something, you know, a car or an item or a philosophy or a school or an individual, just kick it a little bit and you'll see the reaction. Now, I'm not saying kick it literally, you know, punch them out. I'm not saying that. But just show a little flaw in it where they might cast a doubt. Now, if you have a junky car and you want to get, you know, maybe collect some insurance money off it, here's my suggestion. Go into a Catholic community, find a Mary statue, tie a rope around her neck, and put it behind your car, and then drive through town three or four times. I guarantee somebody is going to do something to your car. They are definitely going to do something. Why? Because they worship Mary. There's no doubt about that. Okay, you can get online and look up what's called Marian doctrines. Okay, and 1854, Pope Pius IX declared that Mary was immaculately conceived, meaning born like Jesus Christ without sin. In 649 AD, at the Council of Lateran, the idea of the perpetual virginity of Mary was declared, meaning that she only had one boy, the firstborn, Jesus Christ, no other children, even though in Mark chapter 6 it names his four brothers, half-brothers, and a couple sisters, but they're not named. If you believe the perpetual virginity of Mary, then you have to believe in the perpetual virginity of Joseph also. They don't mention that. Why? Because it's a matriarchal thing. At the Council of Trent in 1546, it was declared that Mary lived a sinless life. She doesn't claim that, but somebody did. Okay, in one council, they say that she is the mediatrix of men to God. Hence, Mary becomes the mother of all Christians. Though often what the artist portrays is somebody trying to climb a ladder and they see Jesus on a cross with an angry look on his face and he's mad. Okay, but then Mary, his mother, soothes everybody and then draws them to Christ. No, it's the Spirit of God that draws us to Jesus Christ. To the point where they make her the Queen of Heaven. That is even to the point, there's a church in Wisconsin, a Catholic church called Mary the Queen of Heaven. In a council of Ephesus in 431 AD, she was declared to be the Mother of God, placing her above God. Our Lady of the Rosary accepts prayers of people for Mary, where she can hear all these prayers that everybody talks about, the Our Lady of the Rosary. And then there's one in 1950 was declared by Pope Pius XII that Mary has an assumption where Mary rose bodily and went to heaven just like the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is the worship of Mary. There have been Mary apparitions. She has showed up. She has traveling. She has frequent flyer miles. There are some that are official, meaning these have been recognized by the church to be official decrees where Mary showed up. Our Lady of Guadalupe, Our Lady of Laos, Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal, Our Lady of La Seta, of Lourdes, of Panmain, of Fatima. Now, if you ever read about Fatima, this happened in 1917 where Mary supposedly showed up and talked to three Portuguese children, Francisco and Julio, and I forget the other one. And she showed up on the 13th day of the month, 6 months in a row. And because she did this on May 13th was the first day that she supposedly showed up, that's the day that Pope John Paul II was shot or an attempted assassination. And so what he did is he believed that Mary saved his life, so he dedicated the entire world to Mary because she saved his life on May 13th. They developed a little necklace called a scapular. It's something that you put around your neck. You put it so tight around your neck that it makes you difficult to swallow. And that is to remember the Blessed Mother Mary. Okay, then you have Mary of Knock. I don't know if she's knocking on the door. You have the Mary of Baring, Mary of Benex, Mary of Our Lady of Akita. And then there are numerous unacceptable or unapproved apparitions. She showed up down in Kentucky a while back, down in Georgia. If you read these accounts, in every single account where she supposedly showed up, she evidently has a very large flashlight because they always describe her as a light shining and it's moving around. That's always the description. And if you know anything about the Bible, you might learn some things about that. Okay, we even have a university very close to us called Notre Dame. That means Our Lady. Down in Wheatfield, you have a Catholic church called Our Sorrowful Mother. Wouldn't that be encouraging to go to? Our Sorrowful Mother. Okay? The Pope also placed Mexico under the protection of the Virgin of Guadalupe. Now, Mary is admired and adored and worshipped by these folks. They have special holidays in honor of her. January 1st, Mary the Mother of God. February 11th, Our Lady of Lourdes. May 13th, Our Lady of Fatima. May 31st, the Visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. August 15th, May 31st, that's obviously when Gabriel showed up and gave this announcement because they want to, you know, I don't know, get that date in there. August 15th, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Evidently, that's when she went up to heaven. August 22nd, the Queenship of Mary. Sounds like a ship to me. September 8th, the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. December 8th, Feast of the Immaculate Conception. December 12th, Our Lady of Guadalupe. Now, those are obviously the extremes on one side. They've got more holidays than what they would say go with Jesus Christ. Easter and Christmas. They got more for the Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, where they're going to say she's a mother of God. Now, if you would look at Luke chapter 11. If you're dealing with somebody like this, I would not just right in their face attack the idea. Several years ago, I was knocking some doors down in Rensselaer, came across this Catholic lady. We got talking about some things. I mean, it was one situation where she actually invited into her apartment, which is rare that people invite you in a house. And so we got talking about some things, and I said, well, I obviously see that you admire Mary quite a bit. She said, yes, I do. The Mary, the mother of God, and she bragged about her for a while. I said, well, that's a good thing, I suppose. I said, if Mary showed up, knocked on your door, would you do what she told you to do? She said, oh, yes, I would. I would do exactly what she would say. I said, okay, well, in John chapter 2, verse 5, Mary said this statement, seven words, it's a very short sermon, and it says, she said, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it, referring to Jesus Christ. So I said to her, so Mary said to do what Jesus said. So if Jesus came and knocked on your door and came and sat in your living room, would you do what he would say? Oh, yes, I would do what he would say. Oh, I said, oh, that's a good thing. I would think the same thing. I said in John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus Christ said, search the scriptures. Now, since you said that you would do what Jesus Christ said, because that's what Mary said to do, are you going to start reading your Bible and searching the scriptures? Oh, I don't know about that. I don't know. Okay. I said, now over here, Jesus Christ said in Matthew 23, verse 9, in dealing with religious leaders, he said, call no man father upon earth. Now, you just told me that you would do what Jesus said. As a result of what Mary would say, if they both showed up in your apartment, and I've got the record of this account, are you going to stop calling your priest a father? No, I'm not going to do that. And I said, see, you will not do what Jesus Christ said if he was standing in front of you. And neither will you do what the mother of Jesus Christ would say if he was standing in front of you. That's exactly true. You see, and if a person's like that, what can you do with them? Try to get them to doubt their faith. And you can do it in a gentle fashion. In Luke chapter 11, verse 27, obviously a lady like this approached Jesus Christ. And she said this to Jesus Christ. And it came to pass as he spake these things, Luke 11, 27, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. And he said, yea, that is true. Yes, that is true. Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. You see, it's not an emotional rage there. It's not going to blast her and tear her down. Yeah, that is true. But why is she blessed? Why is Mary blessed? He said here, it's because she hears the word of God and does it. A lot of times the emotional rage that people have about religion reveals something about their faith. It's that they can't defend it properly. And emotional rage is not a biblical approach in defense of truth. James 1 verse 20 says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Now, why was Mary blessed? If you would, go back to Luke chapter 1. Now, Jesus said it pretty clear there in Luke 11, 28, but let's get a little more authority to back that up. And when we discover why Mary was truly blessed, then you and I can get a blessing of God in the same fashion. None of us are going to give birth to Jesus Christ. Back in 1999, there were some people that were impatient with Jesus Christ coming back. And so they had a website and everything, and they said, we're tired of waiting for Jesus to come back, so we're going to make him come back. And so what they claimed to do is that they collected some DNA off some of these Catholic relics, and they're going to take this DNA and implant this into a virgin girl in the March or April or whatnot of 1999, and she's going to give birth to a Jesus on Christmas Day, 1999, so they can usher in the millennium on July 2000. The website was called clonejesus.com. It was an actual website. I kind of got a chuckle out of it. But you see, that's what these people were actually trying to do. Now, none of us are going to give birth to Jesus Christ, obviously, but we can be blessed just like Mary was blessed. How was she blessed? Why was she blessed and chosen? Luke 1, verse 28, he said this, the angel, "Hail, thou art highly favored." You are favored. Verse 30, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." What does it take to find favor with God? If you would, go back to Proverbs chapter 3, and we discover what it is that a person needs to do to find favor with God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. He says this, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." How did she find favor with God? She found favor with God because of verse 1, she kept God's commandments in her heart. And in verse 3, she didn't let mercy and truth forsake her. You see, often the extreme is truth on one side and mercy on the other. Mary had the balance, mercy and truth. Highly favored of God, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 35. If your Bible was given vocal cords where the Bible would speak audibly to you, Proverbs chapter 8 is what it would speak. It is the Bible personified. Chapter 8 and 9, and chapter 8 is personified as a woman. And at the beginning of 9 also, okay, it's personified as a female. But in verse 35 it says this, "And whoso findeth me," the words of God, "findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord." Proverbs 11, verse 27, "He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him." Proverbs 12, verse 12, "A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord." Proverbs 13, verse 15, "Good understanding giveth favor." Good understanding of what? Good understanding of the Word of God. You see, why was Mary chosen? Why was she highly favored in God's mind? It's because she was a fanatic about the Bible. She loved reading her Bible. Now, obviously, we know she didn't have the New Testament. She read Genesis to Malachi. Genesis to Malachi. Now, in a Jewish Bible, they have 2 Chronicles at the end. Different order. Same 39 books. But she had read them, and she had studied them, she had spent hours on those. And if you doubt that, find the words that she expresses in the Bible, and you see that she was a lady who understood the doctrines of God. In the New Testament, 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." See, that's how we get approved of God. "Study to show itself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." The reason why Mary was blessed is not so much because she gave birth to Jesus Christ. She was blessed before that. That's why God chose her. Why? Because she was highly favored with God. Why? It's because she spent time in a book, in the words of God. If you would, look at Luke chapter 1 and you see her words. Often, if you go right to the source, read the words that they say, you can get a lot about people and what they say from their words. In Luke chapter 1, verse 46, Mary is speaking to her cousin Elizabeth. Her cousin Elizabeth is giving birth to a boy named John the Baptist 6 months prior to Jesus Christ. John the Baptist is the one that was a forerunner of Jesus Christ. In Luke 1, verse 46, Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." You know who would be upset with all this Mary worship more than anybody? Mary. She would big time upset. I mean, years ago, I had helped. I was helping somebody over in Notre Dame area, and I got me one of them turnaround collars, and so I was over in that area, and I'm a father, so it doesn't matter. And so I had one of those things, and boy, you could pass out Wise Mary crying tracks very easily with that thing. Oh, bless you, Father. Oh, bless you, my child. Yes, bless you. Yeah, read about Mary. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it goes real good over there like that. They don't know any different. Are you a priest? I certainly am. Are you a father? I certainly am that too. So it doesn't really matter. But here's Mary in her own words. She said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit all hath rejoiced in God, my Savior." She knew she needed a Savior. She knew that. She says this, "For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things. Holy is his name." Notice who she's bragging about. She knows the one, number one attribute of the God of the Bible. Holy is his name. She knows that. "His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." She knows there's a balance between mercy of God and the fear of God. "He hath showed strength with his arm." The arm, the right-hand man of God, is Jesus Christ. "He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts." He'll do that at the second coming of Jesus Christ. "He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree." That's a doctrine for the second coming. "He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away." That's a doctrine of the second coming. "He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to Abraham and to his seed forever." When you read what she's saying there, she understands Bible doctrines. She understands the difference between the first and the second coming. She understands that the holiness of God is his number one attribute. She understands that God is going to exalt himself through the arm of himself, Jesus Christ. Young folks, study the book. Get in the book. All folks, study the book. I know I harp on that a lot, Titus 2 verse 1, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men may be grave, sober, temperate, sound in faith." Sound in faith. Verse 3, "And the aged women likewise," what? Sound in faith. Mary was blessed among women because she loved the scriptures. That's what she loved. The second thought is Mary was also blessed because she accepted correction from the truth. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 verse 41. Here's the story where Joseph and Mary went into the Jewish temple. Jesus Christ is 12 years old. And they lost their son. 3 days he's missing. I'm sure if they had some overzealous soul, they would probably have called Children Protective Services on them. "You left your kid." Well, after 3 days, they found him. And here's what Mary said in verse 48, or 47. "And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business?" That is a very gentle correction from a 12-year-old to his mother. "No, Mama, I'm about my father's business." What is that? That's teaching the book. Verse 50, "And they understood not that saying which he spake unto them." Not at that time. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Another example, when she faced the correction of truth. John chapter 2. She's at this wedding of Canaan. The wedding of Canaan, and they were running out of wine to drink here. Okay, obviously it's in this context, new wine, old wine. And then you'll see in verse 4 of chapter 2, well, verse 3, and when they wanted the wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Again, that is a gentle rebuke. And his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. There's that seven-word sermon that she gave. Right there. Mary accepted a correction from the truth of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. That's what the Bible will do to us. Mary was blessed of God because she accepted a correction from the truth. Not only that, she was blessed of God because she accepted the reproach of men because of the truth. She had to live a life with the rumor of all the town gossip and everybody yakking. That boy, that firstborn, look at when they were married, look at this and all that stuff. She had to endure the reproach of man that Jesus Christ was a bastard child. That's how she had to live. She also, her and Joseph had to live where they moved on to a couple of places because of the death sentence or because of death threats placed on Jesus Christ. And then she had to move up to Nazareth, where her family and lineage is down in Judah. Nazareth was not a good place to live, and she did that. She accepted that because that was the will that God had for her. Mary accepted the reproach of men because of the truth, and the truth of God will bring the reproach of men. It's not that you like it, but you got to accept it. You know, if you go into a Christian bookstore and say, I'd like to order me a Bible, say a King James Bible, they might say, oh, you're one of those. Which a lady down in Lafayette said to a lady in our church in Rensselaer, I want to get a Bible. Well, we got a bunch of them. No, I want a King James. Oh, you're one of those. I look at them and say, oh, what are you? You know? I mean, you just got to throw it right back in people's faces. I'm think about it. You see, so the truth of God does bring the reproach of men. Accept it. Jesus Christ made himself of no reputation. You see, and that's what's vital. The last thing about this, if you would look in Acts chapter 1, the last mention of Mary, where do you find this dear lady? Acts chapter 1, 14. There is one other occurrence of the word Mary in Romans, but you can't pin it down on who it is. This is the last mention of Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, chronologically found in the Bible, Acts 1, verse 14. And it says this, these all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren, implying his brothers of Mark chapter 3, mentioned in Mark chapter 6, I'm sorry. The last mention of the mother of Jesus Christ, she's at a prayer meeting, praying. Nobody's praying to her. Nobody's asking her about prayer. All it mentions is that she's at a prayer meeting. And ladies, your prayers are very important, more so than us grubby old men. The prayers of a mother. One of the greatest needs of the church is praying mothers, grandmothers, widows like Anna of Acts chapter 2 or Luke chapter 2, who came after Simon had given his prophecy about Jesus Christ. And Anna in Luke chapter 2 verse 36, this dear lady was praying, and it says there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. Now that's very interesting that that's mentioned. That's supposedly the lost tribes. God knew where they were. She was of great age and lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. You could tell a wicked society when the women are wicked. Men are always wicked no matter what society you're in. But when women are wicked, you have a bad society. You got a real wicked society when a woman will make a sailor blush with her words. And our society is a wicked society. You can tell it by the women. You see? And when the church has no more mothers praying, it's well nigh hopeless. No more grandmothers praying, we're done. Our goose is cooked. Mary, the last mention of Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, is she's at a prayer meeting, praying. Praying for the church, praying for her children, praying for this, praying for that, praying. That's where you find Mary. That's why she was blessed. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do thank you for the testimony of your mother, Mary. Thank you for her testimony that she was highly favored because she had a well-worn Bible. She had a Bible probably stained with the tears from her prayers. And Lord, one of the greatest assets the church has is praying mothers, praying grandmothers, praying widows. And Lord, I do pray you'd help us recognize that Mary was blessed first and foremost because of her love for the Word of God. She accepted correction from the truth. She even accepted the reproach that she had to take because of the truth. But yet the last mention of her in the Bible is she's praying. And thank you for that testimony. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The piano will play. If you need the altar, it's open for you. Praying mothers. Praying for your husband. Praying for your children. Praying for your church. Praying for your country. Ladies generally are more spiritual than men, and their prayers get a hold of God a little bit better than us men. Lord, thank you for the testimony of your mother, Mary. Thank you that she was a person that loved your words, understood your words, and then you used her to bring your son into this world. Thank you that we see that she's praying. And I thank you for that grace testimony of hers. In Jesus' name, amen.